the...
All right. Triple play Thursday. That Kurt's second request there for triple play Thursday is The Advantage, and they play video game themes. And that was Castlevania 3. Ezra, did you recognize that one?
No, did not play that game.
Dan, did you ever play Castlevania 3?
I did not play 3. I did play 1.
Oh.
You would enjoy it. It's about a vampire hunter.
Oh, you get to kill stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You get to kill stuff in all video games, don't you? That's what video games are about, just killing stuff.
Oh, no, there's a cute video game that I like playing. It's called, oh, my gosh. They roll, it's a Japanese game.
Yeah.
It's called Katamari.
Uh-huh.
And it's a little boy thing. He's like an alien, and he's a prince. And he has to roll up stuff to then make stars. No, to make planets, and they're made of things. But he's very tiny. He can be very tiny or very large, so he can roll up little things like on the carpet, and then as the ball gets bigger, he can roll up chairs and even people and like outside and buildings, and it gets like really big.
Oh, and nobody gets killed?
No, they just get rolled up in the ball.
Well, they maybe they suffocate.
No, they just get stuck on it. You see them wiggling. It's the cutest game ever. I mean, it's Japanese, so.
All right. It's Nick DiTullio here on 720 WGN. Esmeralda, would Esmeralda buy that? Coming up after the 4 o'clock news. But I'm here going to talk about surprising movies that actually have musical adaptations. And some of these I knew, some I didn't. And I'm really surprised, Dan, that they didn't include perhaps the most notorious musical based on a movie ever. I can't believe it's not included.
Which one is that?
Carrie.
Interesting.
There was a musical version of Carrie. Betty Buckley was actually in it. She was in the original movie. She played the gym teacher in the original film with Sissy Spacek. And in the Broadway musical Carrie, she played Carrie's mom, Margaret White. And it was notorious because it closed before opening night. It got the worst reviews ever. It's considered one of the worst musicals in the history of Broadway. And I can't believe it wasn't on this list because it is easily the most notorious musical based on a movie and a bad idea. Who the hell thought it would be a good idea to make a musical of Carrie? Here's one of my regrets ever was that I was in town. I was in New York when the damn thing was running, and my friend Patrick and I were going to go see it, and we changed our mind and we didn't go. And I'm telling you, man, I so regret it because you can't find it anywhere. Like, you can't find the music online, I don't think. Unless somebody's got like a bootleg YouTube copy from the stage. I don't know if it's ever, maybe it has been produced elsewhere, you know, but it was 1987 or 1988 when it debuted on Broadway, and maybe it closed after opening. I think maybe it did have its opening night and then it closed. Like, it literally closed after on opening night. It had one regular performance and a bunch of previews, and the reviews were so horrible and the crowd reaction so bad that it closed immediately. And I'm so mad because we were in town and there were posters for it everywhere. And I remember the logo. The logo was like a girl, like a very stylized girl's face, like just her eyes and her nose. With a red tear, like blood. Just like one red tear. And that was the logo. And I was excited. I really wanted to see it. I was like, oh, man. We didn't go. And then we were going to, like, because we were going to come back in like a couple of months. We were planning another trip to New York to go back, my friends and I. And we were like, oh, we'll catch it then. Because we, for some reason, I guess we didn't want to see it in previews because we're, you know, snobs. We were like, I don't want to see it in previews. So, but anyway, I didn't get a chance to see it.
According to Wikipedia, the preview started April 28th, show opened May 12th, closed May 15th.
So there you go. Was it 88?
Yes.
88. Okay. That's what I thought. And it's just, it was, I mean, everything that I read about it. And I remember Roy was going to go see it when they on one of his New York trips, because Roy Leonard used to have these, he would host these trips to New York and London. They were theater tours and theater trips. You would go, you'd spend like a weekend in New York, you'd see 3-4 shows, have a really nice dinner, and then come back. And he did this for years. You know, he hosted these things for years. And Carrie was on one of the agendas, and he had to change it because they closed the show. But again, who the hell was like, hey, you know, I got an idea. You know that movie, that Brian De Palma movie, where the girl kills everybody at the end and sets the school on fire while she's covered in pig's blood? I think that'd make a fantastic Broadway musical.
Did they have tarps and things in the front?
No. I don't know. I didn't Gallagher. See it. I would imagine no. But I will say this. The first one that's on this list, Esmeralda, it's funny that you should mention that, because the first one that's on this list, which I've seen, is Evil Dead the Musical. And they had a splatter zone. They called it the splatter zone. The closer you sat to the stage, the better the chance was that you got splattered with blood. I thought it was great. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. It had a great sense of humor, and it ran everywhere. It was first performed in 2003, and it had elements of all three of the Evil Dead movies. So it wasn't just about, you know, the cabin and stuff. It actually included some Army of Darkness stuff in it as well. And it was really clever, and it was really well done. And you know, Sam Raimi approved. Bruce Campbell approved, which is a good thing. But I like that one. So Evil Dead was a musical. Did you know Heathers was a musical?
I did not.
I didn't know that. And it was, check this out, composer and lyricist Lawrence O'Keefe has two musicals based on classic teen comedies under his belt. He's the guy who did Legally Blonde, which was like nominated for, you know, a ton of Tony Awards. But he also did Heathers. Heathers the Musical, which was an off-Broadway run in 2014, made several changes from its Winona Ryder starring material, most notably combining Veronica's ex-best friend Betty Finn and school pariah Martha Dump Truck Dunstock into one character. A feature film adaptation has been in the works for several years, but it's moving along at a slow pace. What kind of musical numbers do you think were in that? You know, do you think they had a song called Blank Me Gently with a Chainsaw? Do you think that was one of
that? That would be good.
That would be great. It's one of the most memorable lines in the entire movie.
Every time someone dies at the funeral, they do a,
yeah,
I love my dead gay son.
Oh, man. That is one of the funniest things ever in anything. I love my dead gay son. That, and then say, so what was it? One of the lines is, "Oh man, he was gay." When they discover the bodies, that movie was great, man. That was great. Christian Slater at his height. You know, between that one and Pump Up the Volume, that was Christian Slater was the man. All right, Metropolis, the classic Fritz Lang 1927 silent movie, was made into a musical in 1989. Brian Blessed co-starred in it. Brian Blessed, major actor who you'd know if you saw him, big British dude who's been in everything. He was in Flash Gordon, the 1980 version of Flash Gordon. He was one of the, he was like the leader. Did you ever see Flash Gordon, Dan?
I was one of those I saw a little too young and was like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Well, as an adult, you go, what is going on here? Trust me. As well, did you ever see the Flash Gordon?
I have not, no.
Well, and if Brian Blessed, for those people who have seen it, Brian Blessed was the leader of the flying dudes. I don't know. The winged, hawk-winged dudes. They sort of looked like Vikings, but they all had wings and they flew. He was the leader of those guys. That's Brian Blessed. Big British dude with a beard. So he was in Metropolis. And evidently, it did pretty well. Judy Kahn was in it. She was nominated for a Laurence Olivier Award in 89 for her performance. She's a 4-time Tony Award nominee. She's best known for her work outside of the theatrical movie space and providing the singing voice for the movie Pocahontas, Disney's Pocahontas. So Metropolis. I did not know that. It's interesting that you could make a musical out of a silent movie. See, some of these ideas are just weird. Now, I never saw Legally Blonde. Did any of you guys see Legally Blonde? I mean, I've seen the movie, but I didn't see the musical. Esmeralda, you ever see the musical?
No, I have not.
Dan?
I have not seen the musical. Because I have seen the movie.
I've seen the movie, too. And
that's probably my wife texting me, telling me that she's seen it.
Oh, she has seen the...
Yep.
Yeah. Was that her?
Yeah.
The baby wake her up?
Well, the baby's at the stage where she's feeding every 3 hours. So,
oh, gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah.
The baby's listening.
The baby wants to see Carrie.
Baby likes to be up between 1 and 4, so actually she is listening quite a bit.
Olivia's like, you need to put on GN now, Ma.
did Eileen like it?
Fire up the app. Yes, she did.
Okay, because I heard it was really great. I heard it was really great. But some of these times, sometimes when you think to adapt a movie into a musical, it's not a good idea. So, all right. Let me give you a little preview of the next one, because we have a break. Apparently there was a musical version of American Psycho. And I want to see it now. I want to see it right now.
Wait till you see. Wait till you read who did the music.
Okay. I'm saving that one. Yeah, that's why I figured that one we could tease with that one, because that's amazing. American Psycho, the musical. Okay. I'm sure Bret Easton Ellis was real thrilled with that, considering he hated the movie version, which was better than his damn book. Yeah. Triple play Thursday. Yeah. Kurt also thinking that today is Wild Card Wednesday, I think. Combining the two, chose The Advantage. It's a band that specializes in playing video game themes, and that's Contra. You guys recognize? Did you recognize Contra?
I didn't recognize it, no. But I love that game.
That was specifically when you faced off against the bad boss from Contra.
So that's the theme.
Was it always the same one?
It just says the boss here. I didn't recognize it. It just says that on the YouTube I'm looking at.
Because they had many bosses.
Wow. That's one of the themes during you fight, when you fight?
Right. I used to play that game just for fun. Like if I had a minute to spare.
Yeah.
Because once you put in the code to have unlimited lives, you could just run through that thing so fast.
Oh. All right. Well, there you go. Contra from The Advantage. All right. We were talking about movies that were unusually made into musicals. And before the break, I told you that American Psycho became a musical. An even shorter Broadway run belonged to Rupert Gould-directed American Psycho musical, which ran a few months in 2016. The show originated in London, where yuppie serial killer Patrick Bateman was played by Doctor Who alum Matt Smith. Matt Smith? Wow. The Broadway transfer brought Benjamin Walker, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, into the lead role. In addition, the original songs were by Duncan Sheik.
What?
Yeah. And the show covered 80s classics, along with songs by Duncan Sheik. It covered Everybody Wants to Rule the World, In the Air Tonight, Don't You Want Me, and, of course, Hip to Be Square. Anybody remember Duncan Sheik?
Yes.
Why don't we give everybody a little example of Duncan Sheik?
I am barely breathing, I can't find the air. Don't know who I'm kidding, imagining you care. I could stand here waiting, move for another day.
Yeah. Okay. I have to admit, I love that song.
That song rules.
I love the whole album. There's a song on there called She Runs Away. Oh man. I loved me some Duncan Sheik.
He had a good song also on the Great Expectations soundtrack.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know that American Psycho existed, but I did know that that's what Duncan Sheik does now, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
He's a Broadway song guy.
Yeah, he did Spring Awakening.
Yeah, and he's like won Tonys and stuff, so that's what he does now.
I'm in love with him.
Yeah, doesn't he look, I'm trying to remember the video, because he was a handsome dude.
He is dreamy.
He is dreamy.
He's
doesn't
still
he
dreamy.
Look a little bit like Dylan McDermott? See, I just got him confused. You know, again, Dermot Mulroney, Dylan McDermott. Doesn't he look a little like am I nuts? Because I think I remember thinking he looked a little bit like Dylan McDermott.
Yeah, he's got the dark hair.
Yeah.
Ivory skin, like he's very blue eyes. Probably.
Oh yeah, no, he's a beautiful man. I remember because
he's got like doe eyes.
The video for that song was mostly his face.
Yeah, and then he's always suffering.
Yeah, and She Runs Away is such a great. I think that's my favorite song on the album.
All his songs are about him suffering for the most part.
Yeah,
and I think they're almost like ploys, so girls could be like, "Oh my god,
that's exactly what it was." That's exactly what it was, and I fell for it. Again, the 15-year-old girl inside me fell for Duncan Cheek.
You just wanted to hold him in your arms.
I wanted to cuddle Duncan Cheek and make him feel better. My friends used to make fun, because I used to play that song. I used to play, you know, that song. We had the CD on the jukebox at Ty's. Ty's Till 4 when I was bartending there. I used to play the two songs that I love the most, that one and She Runs Away. And everybody, every time, my friends would be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you playing this? And they always thought his name was funny. Duncan Cheek. Duncan Cheek, what is this? What is his name? A euphemism for sex? Because that's what my friends used to say.
Well, there's a brand of...
I know. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. I thank you very much.
Wait, is that what they were referring
yes,
to?
Yes, Duncan Cheek.
Oh, I thought they had a word.
No, Duncan Cheek. Duncan, like Dunkin' Donuts, Duncan Cheek. That's a euphemism for having sex.
Oh, is it?
You're well, you just said that there's a brand.
There's a brand of condoms.
Yes, called Cheek.
Right.
Right. So what are you doing if you're Duncan Cheek?
I know, but I've never heard that phrase.
Well, no, it's not. That's my friend said that his name sounds like that, so they started calling that act Duncan Cheek. They would refer to it as Duncan Cheek because they hated him so much. Every time the song came on, my friends wanted to smash beer bottles over my head. So I can't believe I was. Are we full up on out of context for tomorrow? Because that whole conversation.
I got a feeling we'll hear it.
Yeah. Hey, Esmeralda, how about this one? Barbarella was made into a musical.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one, that would be a good musical.
Check this out. You know who wrote the score for it? Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics. How could that not rule?
That also makes sense.
Let's see. Per Variety's review, it's based not on the movie, but on the French comic book that inspired the movie. The Variety review said it was a 21st century bore, a cheesy, awkward production, hopelessly juvenile book and lyrics.
Oh.
It did run for a year. They made a musical out of Ghost. Again, with Dave Stewart doing the music. Even though he had poor luck with Barbarella. Bring It On became a musical. And you know who wrote? Do you know who wrote the music for it?
Who's that?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
For the Bring It On?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Which is a movie I love, by the way. That was one of those.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was one of those movies that I didn't expect. I remember going to that movie and going, "This is going to be the worst movie ever," and I loved it. And you know, there's like 20 of those movies now.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was looking around on cable, and it was like, "Bring It On 8." Slap it, you know, or whatever.
And is Gabrielle Union in all of them? And
I think
she
still
looks like she's a vampire and doesn't age.
She doesn't age. I think she's only in the first two, if I'm not mistaken.
Playing a high schooler and she's like 30-something.
Yeah. Young Frankenstein was made into a musical. They tried to follow it up with The Producers, which was such a big hit, but it bombed. It did not do well. Megan Mullally was in it. King Kong was a musical. It opened in 2013 in Melbourne. 4 years later, it still hadn't gone to Broadway. And the show combined 30s Broadway classics like Girl Happy and I Want to Be Loved by You with songs by some written by Sarah McLachlan. Jeez, what? What is this? 90s nostalgia?
They got to do something now.
Oh, my God. And, of course, Rocky was a musical, which I knew that. And you know, like currently Groundhog Day is a musical. Did you guys know that?
They just reviewed it in Time. They said it was pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's it from what I hear, it's good. So, and then finally, we'll 312 says, for some reason, when you mentioned what movie would you like to be made into a musical, the movie's Marty popped into my head. Picture Marty with some of his butcher friends heading off to the ballroom for a Saturday night. I'm a butcher. He's a butcher. They're all butchers. I think you've got something there. Somebody called Duncan Sheik. Peter in Decatur said, movies have been made into adapted into musicals. I recently saw Heather's the Musical, presented in the musical theater department at the Millikan University in Decatur. It was very good, starting off as being a laugh-a-minute comedy and then gradually turning very dark. Everything from the original Heather's was in their musical, language and all, and at several points, the F-bomb was one of the more tamer words used. Okay. All right. We have to take a break for the news, and then after the news, we're going to find out if Esmeralda would buy that or not.